Victory is when we all get to heaven. When we all see Jesus, oh, let's stand and sing it again. Get to heaven. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
Time it's going to be, but what a time it is right now. Amen. We're having a pretty good time on our journey, aren't we? It's not without a lot of trouble, a lot of aggravation, a lot of trials, but I'm going to tell you something. It's worth every one of them. What we've got in store for us is worth everything that we go through. And whatever it costs us, we're getting the best deal. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Did you enjoy church here last night? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, just Brother David, he let us kind of get a glimpse of what the Lord thinks about us. I know what I think about me sometimes, but I'm glad God don't see that. I believe He sees a finished product in every one of us. And when we all get to heaven, I want every one of us to go together, don't you? And maybe not at the same time. Some of us will leave a little bit sooner, some later, but I want us to all be there on that day, don't you? As I look over this congregation, I don't see one soul, not one soul that I want to see miss it. But I want every one of you to make it. Is that your desire? Is that your desire for one another? You want each other to make it, don't you? Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you, soldier. Let's go together. Amen. Play some more of that song if you will, brother. God bless you. Well, you're getting off to a good start this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to let you be seated. We got some prayer requests we want to let you know about. I want to pray for Angie, Eli, Keziah, all not feeling well. Sister, brother Aaron McCoy sends that in. So let's pray for those folks this morning. Brother Bruce Hackett of Canada, fighting off another attack of pneumonia and gout. Brother Amos Cutts sends that in on his behalf. Brother Joel and Sister Tamika Brown, they offer this testimony and just thank God for this morning. We would like to thank everyone for keeping our Josiah in your prayers. Having been placed on a new medication since April, he has done very well with minimal seizures, whereas he was previously having up to 100 per day. He has had a very minimal amount and often will go several days, if not weeks, seizure-free. We are believing that he will be able to come off the medication and remain seizure-free in God's time. Please continue to keep him in your prayers. We love and appreciate you all very much, Brother Joel and Sister Tamika. And we might say we love you all very much too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. They're just They're a great asset to this assembly, Brother Joel and Sister Tamika. Brother Raymond, they ask us to remember the brothers and sisters in the Phoenix area. There's a lot of houses that's underwater due to the flooding that took place there. So let's remember that prayer request this morning. Brother Jerry Glenn says to remember him in prayer. He will have a scan on Monday at the VA hospital. So let's pray that all will be well with him. Brother John Roberts says Sister Marcy is not feeling well. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer today. We just commit that to the Lord. Want to remember Sister Boone in prayer. She's still in the hospital, possibly for more tests and observations. She had taken a fall, and let's remember our sister that the Lord would be with her today. Brother Carter Lawson says an unspoken request for a nephew the Lord knows all about. Sister Anna Altland says to remember her 15-year-old niece, Lindsay, who will be seeing a heart specialist. Pray that they will find out what her problem is. Sister Janet Payne sends in for Sister Linda Douglas from Lima. Asks for prayer for her husband, Robert, with liver complications. So let's remember that prayer request. Brother Phil Priest sends this in for his boss, Chase Bowles. He's having problems with his liver. If he doesn't get a touch from the Lord, then he will have to have a liver transplant. I told him that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he says that he believes that. So we're just praying for the Lord's will, and may God be with that man during this time. Sister Barron says, please pray for Jacob Taylor, 84 years old. He got a side effect from cholesterol medication. He hasn't been able to walk. Told him that we would pray for him here at the church, so let's remember that. I want to pray for Sister Lisa Willis and her family. Her mother passed away this morning, so let's remember those folks as we pray. Brother Amos sends this in, rejoice and give God praise, a great answer to prayer. In the Cutts family, they want to just praise the Lord and thank him for that. So we thank God for that this morning, don't we? All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, we just commit these things unto the Lord. Brother Charlie wants you to come as you stand this morning. Come and lead us to the Lord this morning in prayer. As we pray, let's just believe the Lord. God's able to move whatever it is that you have need of today. He's able to help you in that. Do you believe that? Amen. Brother Charlie, God bless you.
Give me 3 minutes.
3 minutes. All right.
I want to tell you something. I prayed to the Lord last night. That he would call me for prayers. And the reason for that is because I got a little testimony to give you. In 1994, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. I didn't do nothing about it. I pray. The Lord healed me. 1994. I had some blood tests made a few weeks ago. And the doctor found out my prostate was very inflamed. He said that was a sign of cancer. Now, I either made God a liar or he healed me. Is that right? He healed me or I made him a liar? Then the doctor had me make some test, T scan, things like that. And I was still praying to the Lord. I said, I'm healed. And the results were that I was clean. Nothing. Now, he found that very strange because of my symptoms. So he had me make another test. The doctor and I have become very friends with one another. I mean that. As a matter of fact, he bought my book. But anyway, we become very, very good friends. After this later test, the guy that made the test, he said, Dr. B, Boca Rosa's his name, he called him Dr. B. He said, he'll probably call you tonight. And I said, he probably will. One way or the other, he will call me. We were having dinner Friday. Was it Friday? Friday. We were having dinner. The phone rang. I had my phone in my pocket. So my wife said, it's your phone. Pick it up. So I went up, pick up. So he said, he called me Carmelo. That's my first name. So Carmelo, I want to tell you, I got good news. I'm so excited. This is a doctor talking. He said, I'm so excited for you. First of all, he started to talk to me about the book. He said, that book shows you yourself in action, you know, raising your hands and all that. And he said, he was very excited. And I knew good news was coming. So he said to me, I had to put my wife in the phone. He elevated me beyond, oh, you saw the book and everything and this. And then he said, now you want to hear some much better good news? I said, yeah, I knew it was coming. Your prostate is fine. There's no cancer. That's been part of my testimony for a long, long time. My testimony of God healing me. I either made him a liar or he healed me. And he did heal me. Hallelujah. Now, if he did that for me, why can't he do the same thing for all these requests that were made? He will. If you believe it. Just believe it. Have the faith. Put it to work. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, Father. We ask you, Lord, for these needs that were requested, Father. You are our healer, Lord. Nothing goes beyond you, Father. Nothing is impossible, Father. We ask you to touch each and every need that was requested, Lord. You know which one they were, Lord. Make it all, Lord. Have mercy upon all of us, Father. I know the flesh fails you every day, Lord, but every day we come back and ask you for mercy, for grace, Lord. I thank you and I love you, Father. Please, oh Lord, touch each and every need, Father. I believe you will do it, Lord, and I thank you for it. In the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, God's good, isn't he? Brother Chuck, you and Brother Joel come to the platform real quick. Get ready to sing with Brother Harry through the fire. He may take you through the fire, but there's one thing about it. If he takes you through it, he's able to bring you out of it. Amen. Let me make this announcement. Ushers, come, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here this morning, we want to welcome you. All those that are streaming, we pray God will bless those folks as well. Anyone that would like to help during the fall festival, there's still several spots open. Please sign up in the library. That's this coming Friday evening. That'll be taking place. So please remember, if you can, sign up in the library. Anyone that can help with funnel cakes, see Sister Joy Sherman. That's I'd eat more than I'd give you, so I'm not going to do that. But that's what somebody else I heard say. I think Jim Babb said he'd eat more than he passed out. So anyways, if you can help during the fall festival, please do that. God bless you. It's good to be a Christian this morning, isn't it? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad you're on your way to heaven? Are you glad it's a finished work? God's able to complete it in your life. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. God save you.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
Never promised that the cross would not be heavy and your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, and he said help would always come in time.
Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb.
He never offered without fighting, help would always come in time.
Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show, and He will take you through the fire again.
Oh, I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the mighty hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and your hill would not be hard to climb.
He never offered victories without fighting,
and He said
help would always come in time.
Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on.
Our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire again.
So just hold on. Our Lord will show up.
Amen. The choir has a song for us this morning. You can be seated. Let's enjoy them. Give them a nice hand as they quickly come to the platform.
Journey, and we're called to walk by faith. There'll always be the mountains and valleys in our way, but right here in this moment, May our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, follow where He leads. Greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord.
Stand this morning. Brother David Siler is going to come bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you going to pray for our brother? Amen. Amen. Had a wonderful time here last night. I believe God's going to give us another wonderful, wonderful time this morning. Let's sing that little chorus, My God is Real. I believe that, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord as Brother David comes. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Real in my
Praise God. How many believes he's real this morning? How many believes he's alive this morning? Amen. Praise God. I believe he's real. I believe he's alive. Not in a book, not in a tape. I believe he's alive inside of his people. I believe that God has living manifestations of his word in this hour. Everybody else done their part. Paul done his part. And everybody in the ages done their part. What about you and I? Amen. I want to go to the book of Isaiah this morning, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 this morning. We're going to start in the first verse, and then we want to read down a few verses of scripture. Isaiah chapter 53. Last Saturday, I was studying for this weekend. And Saturday when I was looking at it, I thought, I know what I'm going to preach next Sunday. So I wrote it down on the paper and had some notes laid out there. And I said, I'm going to preach on Melchizedek's feast. Then Brother Donnie come and changed the whole idea of it. I thought, well, back to the old drawing board. I remember a couple of years back, I was getting ready to preach for the weekend here, and Brother Terry come out and preach on the prodigal son. I'd had already had it all ready to go. Back to the old drawing board. I'm just glad I got a good drawing board. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's a question. He's asking who believes the report, and whoever believes it, the Lord reveals it to him. For he shall grow up before them as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. For he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Hallelujah. Yet we did not esteem him. He was stricken and smitten of God. Everybody say smitten. He was smitten of God. Now notice verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. Oh, aren't you thankful? And with his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Notice he was oppressed, he was afflicted, he was smitten. But when he becomes smitten, the Bible says he opened not his mouth. Right? And he brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears. And it's dumb till he opened not his mouth. Notice, and he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. But yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put away him in the grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Can we finish it? He shall see the sea of the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied by the knowledge of our righteousness, of our servant, justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. What a great inheritance. And he shall cause he hath poured, because he hath poured out his soul into death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. From this subject, I'd like to speak on what Brother Ram spoke on when he preached the message of masterpiece, but I want to preach it in this angle, a piece of the master, a piece of the master. Let's just bow our hearts now, if you would. There's a special request on my heart this morning, and if you have one, we just make it known before the Lord this morning by the uplifting of your hand. Special need on our heart. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come this morning just under great expectation of what you have in store for us, knowing, Lord, that your word has never failed. And Lord, we believe that you're faithful this morning. And Father, we just look to you and ask that you would come among us. Lord, now may you help us each one just to surrender into your presence. Lord, we just sent you in the building. Lord, we know that you're going to say something that will be edifying to us this morning. So Lord, we just help us to, Lord, now just to look to you, Lord. May we just look to the word now. And Father, begin to feed as it was from the word of God. Lord, may you do as you did many years ago when you took the bread and you broke it. And Lord, it's the peculiar way that you broke it. The Bible said their eyes come open. May our eyes come open this morning. Lord, may you reveal your word to our hearts. May we be caught up as Paul said in the book of Ephesians in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Granted, I pray this morning we'll give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. A piece of the master. I'm overwhelmed with this message that Brother Brown brings us on the masterpiece. What an incredible message to bring at this portion of his ministry, being just the last couple of years before the Lord would take him off the scene. But now he has come to this place in his ministry where he is, that God has taken, he's pulling out all the tops. And he's leaving no doubt to where we have come under the reign of this message. He's leaving no doubts to where, to what God has achieved in these last days. And remember, Brother Ram's just not preaching present tently, but he is looking to something as we sing the song when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And I'll tell you that you was on the mind of God when this message was being presented by a prophet. And how that God was looking to the future of a people that would raise up upon the scene. Amen. A people that would come and begin to identify themselves within this great end time message. We know when Brother Ram starts this message in the masterpiece, he starts with this great image that Michelangelo has sculpted from this piece of marble. And Brother Ram, of course, looking at it from the gardens there in California, and he begins to express and how that he is inspired by what he sees. And so Brother Ram tells us in paragraph 31, he said, one of the main things that interests me in the forest lawn was Michelangelo. And of course, you go through the forest lawn. There's all kinds of sculptors that had put their pieces of art there in forest lawn. But out of all of them, even David being there, Brother Branham was attracted to Moses. Michelangelo's masterpiece on Moses. And he said, the interest me in the forest lawn was Michelangelo's, the great sculptor, the monument of Moses. It's a reproduction there, of course. It isn't the original, but it's a great masterpiece. And as I stood and I looked at it, I liked that. Something that looks like it represents got something to it. And I like art real well. I believe God is in art. Amen. I believe God is in music. And the church said amen. I believe God is in nature. And God is everywhere. So when Brother Branham sees this sculpture of Moses, Brother Branham is inspired. Notice Michelangelo was inspired, but now the prophet of the hour is inspired. And I'm going to show you how inspired he was, because the sculptor, when he got ready to make this great masterpiece of Moses, Brother Branham tells us that the sculptor had to already have the picture of this image in his mind. Hallelujah. Before he ever started. So you realize, so in his choice to make this monument, you realize he had to make sure, first of all, before any masterpiece can be made of Moses, first of all, he's got to have the right material on earth. In order to make this masterpiece. And it has to be the right material, the right makeup. It has to be the right time. It has to be the right age. It has to be the right people. Or there is no masterpiece in the making. And how Michelangelo began to search for that great piece of marble that he would take and chip away from. And my, how he began to move upon this rock looking, it's nothing laying there. But because of what is in his mind, he knows exactly what the image is going to be in a real life picture. How many ever has just seen Michelangelo's Moses? And I just want to show you just a glimpse of it to get your mind on it if we can, because it's an astounding thing that even in this picture that of this great piece of art, when I just sat and studied it this week, I thought, my, how that a man could take so much time in one piece of art. But it really, to the sculptor, it doesn't matter how much time it takes. Doesn't matter how many days go by. Doesn't matter how many ages has passed by. He has no other piece of art on his mind. His mind is upon this piece of art. And how that he took the chisel and the hammer and began to sculpt away. And I think it's an astounding feat to speak of this man's artist's ability to achieve such a masterpiece, as Brother Brown called it. He called it the masterpiece of Michelangelo. And remember, he had this image in his mind before he ever started. He had to pick out the right stone, and how that, of course, the stone couldn't be too big because it would require too much time to chip. It can't be just too small, or it doesn't fit the vision, the image that he has in his mind. And in the making of this monument, I want to tell you that I want to say that how that Michelangelo does not see a piece of marble. But what Michelangelo sees, he sees Moses in that rock. I want to tell you, he's not looking to a piece of marble. He's not looking at the parts of this marble. He's not looking at how big this piece of marble is. He's looking at Moses laying inside of that piece of marble. Amen. I want to tell you that Moses was not carved into that rock. Moses was not carved into that rock. Moses was always in that rock. I said he was always in that rock. Michelangelo only chipped away what was not a part of Moses. And I want to tell you that you was always the bride. You was always elected. You was always predestinated. He simply for the last 2,000 years has been chipping away. Hallelujah. Oh my, for the seven church ages, he's been chipping away what does not belong a part of the elect. Moses was always in that rock. He just carved away what didn't belong there. Hallelujah. It just took the right man with the right vision. Hallelujah. To be able to see Moses inside of that piece of marble. Oh, but friends, you realize, do you know where Moses was before he was in that marble? He was in the mind of Michelangelo. He came from Michelangelo's mind, but now he's been transcended down to a piece of marble. Where was you before you come upon this earth? I'll tell you, you was a thought, a gene seed in the mind of God, elected and predestinated in the mind of God before the world ever began. Abraham tells us this masterpiece that Michelangelo had, it cost him something to do it. And I want to tell you, it costed our Lord something to do it. He was a great man. It cost him a big part of his life because of the many years in carving. Just take a rock and marble and keep carving it. Only the man, the sculptor himself, has in his mind what he's trying to do. Brother Bob, pastors would come by. And let me tell you, they may look at that piece of marble and I'll say, that's just a mess. There's nothing to it. Nothing will ever come out of it. But that's just what man sees. Man comes by this church on this hill and they say, that's just a mess up there. There's nothing to it. But let me tell you, the master's working on you. People may not think much of you in this world, but I want to tell you, you have an image. God has an image of you. You may not look much when we're under construction. Let me just tell you this. We have all been under construction. But don't judge him because he's not done yet. Judge the finished product of what it's going to look like when he gets done. Judge what it looks like when the master gets done working on you. I think too many times we judge ourselves before we see the finished product. Amen, somebody. We start looking at our mistakes and our shortcomings and we start judging the flaws. We start judging our shortcomings. But let me tell you, God is not deterred because of those things. Amen. Michelangelo was not sidetracked because it didn't look exactly the way he thought it should at each moment of each day. I hope somebody gets a hold of that this morning. You understand, you cannot deter the inspiration that Michelangelo had, and you can't deter the inspiration that God has this morning. God has an image in His mind, and nobody can deter what God has in His mind. And I'm going to tell you this, no matter what anybody thinks about it, anybody says about it, it's going to be exactly what God had thought in His mind. Even if it's not you or anybody else, God will have a masterpiece here in the end time. Oh, what a mess. No matter what nobody else saw, he still had it in his mind. Brother Anderson, you might walk up and say to him, what are you picking on that rock for? To the outsider who doesn't know what's in his heart. Brothers and sisters, that's why you must have a revelation of the heart of God. Because that's the only way you can understand what God is trying to do in behalf of you and I is, you must know what God has in His heart. You must know what He has on His mind. You must look to the blueprint of His Word to know what He's thinking, to know what He's looking at. If you ain't careful, you'll get your mind on the dust. You'll get your mind on the pieces. You'll get your mind on rocks and all kinds of things. But remember, catch a revelation of His heart. The outsider who doesn't know what's in his heart says, oh, it's just nonsense. I wonder how many people has heard about this message and they said, oh, that's just nonsense. They hear about a vindicated prophet. They say, oh, that's just nonsense. Amen. I just say you don't know what's in God's heart. You don't know what's on God's mind. You don't know what God's looking to. Amen. The difference between us and every passerby is we have a revelation in the end time of what God is going to bring to manifestation in this day. We look at this message and we're awed by it. Others look at this message and say there's nothing to it. Amen. But I'm submit to the man, the sculptor himself. The sculptor himself has a vision in his mind. So the sculptor knows what he's making. So it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It's only what the sculptor has to think about it. See, the sculptor himself has got a vision in his mind of what he's trying to make. He's trying to reproduce what's in his mind in the form of a monument. And that's the reason he's picking it out of the rocks. He's picking it out of the rocks. He's chipping away the rocks that does not belong. That's why some people can't handle it. It's because God is chipping the rocks away. If you don't belong, you'll never see it. So it's just it's no great big stone, but he's just digging out of his mind. And he's chipping away. Day by day, he's chipping away. I think of just the foundation of that masterpiece. How long that it took to get that to look like that. But yet, not only that, to move up from his feet to his robe, to his beard. I thought, oh my, what a great achievement of a man to see that. To be able to see that picture. And because of inspiration, and inspiration's a wonderful thing, but inspiration strikes people in different ways. Some men's anointed to be able to take wood and they can build a great thing out of wood. But let me tell you, God's not building things out of rock. He don't want monuments. He wants movements. He don't want statues. He wants statures. It's not a statue of a perfect man. It's the stature of a perfect man. We've got too many statues around this message. We need some statures of a real, living, breathing bride. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh my. And to do this, you have to start off right in the beginning. Notice Moab says in order to produce this image, it had to be started right in the beginning. And you have to follow the pattern. Brother, don't get off the pattern. Keep your heart on the pattern. In other words, once he gets started on this masterpiece, Michelangelo did not get halfway in the middle of it and lose his inspiration. Glory to God. He didn't lose his inspiration when he started. Even though he would start and maybe he would chip a little too much off to his thinking. But let me tell you, God knows how to smooth over every piece. He knows how to make every part just to his specifications. Amen. And notice, once he chips it off, he cannot put back what he has chipped off. Brother, once God truly strips you of something in your life and he chips it away from you, we may cry about it, we may not like it, but God ain't going to put it back and you can't put it back. Hallelujah. When God chips it away, it needs to be gone. Let me tell you, he's inspired. And he's not going to stop being inspired. No matter how many times prophets have failed over the years, men have fallen over the years. Let me tell you, he never lost his inspiration. Well, that's very personal to me because I wasn't born in Abraham's day. I wasn't born in Noah's day. I'm glad he didn't lose his inspiration. When Paul was killing Christians, God never lost his inspiration. When his children was being burned at the stake, God never lost his inspiration. Hallelujah. He's inspired from the time he starts until the time that he finishes it. Hallelujah. Brother Ram says, you have to follow the pattern. You get a little piece and start off. We'll make it this way. No, I believe I'll make it this way. He's got to have an exact pattern in his mind. He's got to have that pattern. He cannot vary from the pattern. Now, in order to do this, he had to draw it in his mind because we have no real pictures of Moses. I said he didn't have a picture of Moses. He didn't have something that he was making a replica off of what he saw. But he was inspired. He saw the face of Moses. He saw the arms of Moses. He saw the law of God in his hand. He cannot vary from it. Moses, he had no real picture of Moses, but he had to get a mental picture in his mind of exactly what Moses was. And now a genuine sculptor is inspired, like a genuine porter, a genuine singer, a musician, whatever it might be. All real has to come by inspiration. Michelangelo must have had that inspiration of what Moses really looked like. And he caught it in his mind. What Moses must have been. He set forth on that great piece of marble to cut into the pattern. And to bring him down, listen to the terminology now. He was bringing down. He was honing down. Couldn't we pick some quotes up this morning? He was honing down. He was bringing it down until he got the real picture of what it must have been in his mind. Brother Ram keeps emphasizing that over and over again. What he had in his mind. Because he's talking about another masterpiece. And God had it in his mind. When Michelangelo got tired, he still had the picture in his mind. Oh, I hope you see where I'm going. Whenever Michelangelo begin to be wore out in the evenings, the picture never left his mind. I said when the sculptor groaned outside the city with a headache, he never lost the image in his mind. When he was rejected of his brethren, he never lost the image in his mind. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and drops of blood dripped from his brow, he never lost the image in his mind. Hallelujah, somebody. Pain didn't stop him. Beatings didn't stop it. Thorns didn't stop it. Nothing could take the image out of his mind. No doubt as Michelangelo worked on that great masterpiece, and God had put that masterpiece in his mind, and any piece of art has to go through the hall of critics, Brother Benham says. Amen, church. Therefore, there's going to be people that comes around his masterpiece that is not going to see the image. Let me tell you, they'll criticize what you believe. They'll criticize what we stand for. What one person sees as a treasure, the other person sees it as trash. But I want to tell you, beauty is in the eye of the beholder this morning. It's not what man sees. It's what God sees. It's what's been revealed by his mind. Just because critics come by, said they didn't like it, he didn't change the image in his mind. Just because his prophets was rejected, he didn't change the image that's in his mind. Amen. Mercy, I could preach Romans 8 right now with everything that's in me. Amen. I can show you that you was a part of his mind. According to Romans 8, we read it last night. You have been called and justified and sanctified. You've been already glorified in his presence. Already in his mind, you've got a glorified body. Already in his mind that you are there. You are the very masterpiece of Almighty God. I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about in his mind. So no matter what you look like, if you're halfway undone or halfway not even finished, God thought of you and he is inspired. He is a creator. And being a creator, he is sovereign to make it any way he wishes to. He does not take counsel from other sculptors. He does not take counsel from other preachers. He doesn't take counsel from prophets. He doesn't take counsel from other men. God has it in his mind what he wants. He is a sovereign God, and because he's God, God can't change his mind about his word. Proverbs tells us when he got all so perfect, every corner, you look at how many corners is on that piece, every place rubbed off and the eyes just right. Hallelujah, somebody. I said he started at the foundation and he moved to the head. Amen. And the last moving part of anybody, it's not the hands, it's not the mouth, but the last moving part is the eyes. I said when you get to the end, you must have a good set of eyes. Hallelujah. He said he rubbed off every part, every place, rubbed it. His eyes just right. Every hair and beard, all just the way that it was. He stood off and he looked at it. And I think many, many years of hard labor and how he had to hold that same vision. Glory to God. He had to hold that same vision all the time in his mind of what he was going to do. You know how he could keep that same vision? He was inspired. I'm going to say that again. He was inspired. Church, you don't realize what you mean to God this morning. He's been waiting on this since the dawn of time. Let me tell you, he's not deterred this morning. He has what you are. He knows what you're going to be. You may not see it this morning. You may not see the finished product, but God's not deterred because of your shortcomings. But I said, just to think of that vision on his mind. That vision on his mind for so many years. To make it look just exactly, he caught the vision and how he had to work to that vision. Glory to God. How he had to work to that vision. Cutting off, making down. And when he got to where he perfected it, till he really got it perfected. He stood and looked at it when he finished up that morning with a hammer in his hand. Glory. This is our sermon now. Hang on. He was so inspired when he looked at it because the vision that was in his mind was standing before him in reality. Hallelujah. The vision that was in his mind was standing in front of him in reality. But I want you to put yourself there after all the church ages. I mean, after all the years of carving out and the beating and the sweating and the chiseling and the working, everything that he had in his mind that was there in the back parts of the mind of God, now it stands before him. After all the critics had passed by, all the people had come by and judged him as Tommy Rock, judged him as blasphemy, judged him as heretic, hallelujah, judged him as unclean and filthy, it never deterred him. Oh my, that morning when he got it done, brother, Michelangelo stood up and he seen the vision in reality. He saw it in reality. I'll make you want to rip your mic right off your head. Won't it? Can you imagine what God thinks about you this morning? Brother David, I'm a nobody. Nobody knows me. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. I want to tell you, you mean something to God. But Brother David, I'm just useless. Ain't nobody got no use for me. Nobody even likes me. I want to tell you, God had a vision of you in his mind. He knows what you're going to be. He knows what the end product is. Listen, keep your eyes off yourself, Balaam. Keep your eyes off the heart of critics. Keep your eyes off the wrong pages. Does not express the vision. Brother Bram says, to think that he had that in his mind. Oh, just to think so many years he worked. But now it had come to reality. I say there's a day that it starts. And then there's a day that he finishes. And when he had seen his conception of what Moses was, there it was figured before him. He had it in his heart all those years of toils and hours of sorrow. All those years of toil and hours of sorrow and distress and critics and everything else. But yet he stayed right with the vision until it was completed. And when it was completed, he stood back with that sculptor's hammer that he had in his hand. He looked at the monument and the inspiration of the vision. Glory to God. That he had known how to do it. It inspired him so much. The inspiration struck him till he got beside himself. Hallelujah. He got beside himself and he struck it across the knee and he said, "Why don't you talk?" Brother Darrell was just there in Rome and he actually saw the original piece of Michelangelo's masterpiece. And he said that they had a little book there beside it. And he sent me a little script from it and a text message. And he said when Michelangelo struck that piece, what he actually said was, "Why don't you speak? Because you are now alive. You are now alive. You have become what was in my mind. You have become what was in my thoughts. Now why can't you stand up? I want you to get up off this marble. I want you to speak." It's so real. He wants it to live. So real. He thought it should come alive and speak. Watch the message now. So he struck the image. You realize on that picture right there, you can't even see the piece from that knee there, his right knee, where he had took the hammer and struck the knee, because it's so small, you can't even hardly see it. But I want to tell you, many a man would have looked at that finished product and saw that chip out of that knee. And Brother Branham said they would have looked at it and said, "You destroyed this masterpiece. You flogged this masterpiece." And onlookers come by and say, "Oh my, there's a piece out of it. It ain't worth nothing. There's a piece out of it. It's useless. It's worthless." But I want to notice to tell you, Michelangelo, oh glory. Inspiration moves from Michelangelo to a prophet of God. Hallelujah, somebody. And when Brother Brown looked at that knee, he did not see a flaw. He said, "Oh my," they would say, "there's a flaw in that great image on the right knee, just above the knee, about 6 inches in the place. I put my hand in about that deep." And after he'd spent all that time for years and years to make it, under the influence of seeing it fulfilled, when he had seen it in his heart and his vision, he desired to see it. It was completed. And when it was completed, he got so inspired by it until he thought his own masterpiece should speak back to him. And I want to tell you, this masterpiece is not finished until it speaks back to the sculptor. Amen, somebody. That's why this message is so important. Because when you quote this message, you're speaking back to God. What God had in his mind by vision, you are speaking back that word. Not in marble form, but in human form. You could quote the Apostles' Creed, but it doesn't mean nothing to the sculptor. You can quote dogmas, but it doesn't mean nothing to the sculptor. You can quote Baptist theology, but it doesn't mean nothing to the sculptor, because he never had Baptist theology in his mind. He never had the Apostles' Creed. Come on, somebody. But it has to be a word. It has to be a message that was in his mind, and they have to speak back exactly what was in his mind. He's inspired. He says something struck him and he smote the knee. Notice now, inspiration struck him. And now when he sees that image with that chip out of his knee, the prophet is inspired. Glory. Balaam says how that the sculptor had took the hammer and he struck it. Think about it. An image with no blemishes. An image that was absolutely perfect for the sculptor. No mistakes, no faults, no failures. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. But he had come so much in the very image of God until God smote his image. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother David, he flawed it. That peace that come out of him is the flaw. Oh, no. The peace is not the flaw. I said the peace ain't the flaw. The image become the flaw. The image become the flaw. That was just the peace that fell out of him. But the sculptor, notice the very image of the sculptor become bruised. I said he become bruised. He was chastised. The transgression of our peace was upon him. The peace come out. But let me tell you, it may be flawed to man, but God had to smite the image. I'll tell you this. There would never had been a piece of the master had there not been the smiting of the image. I'm preaching to you right there, somebody. I want to tell you there would have never been a piece come out of the master had there not been the master become smitten. Because he becomes smitten, that's the reason why you are here in this building this morning. Had he not smote our Lord Jesus, you would have never have come out of him. Remember, Eve come out of Adam and the bride come out of Christ, and you would have never had been here had the great sculptor of Almighty God smote his image. He smote that perfect image without spot, without blemish. Said, Brother David, I'm flawed. No, you're not. He become flawed so you wouldn't have to be. Did you know Brother Ram called that peace that come out of his knee? He called that peace bride. Hallelujah. The peace that come out of the masterpiece, it was called bride, elected, predestinated. Brother, your election would have meant nothing had he not made a way to bring us back to the original image of the word. The image had to become flawed to get the peace. Jesus is the masterpiece, and you are a piece of the master. Is that all right, somebody? So, Brother David, I think I'm just flawed. No, you're not. He took your flaws. He took your sins. He took your iniquities. He took your chastisement. Listen, you should have been the one to go to Calvary. You should have been the one that died. But the Lamb, the perfect Son of God, took our place so we wouldn't have to go. How many people looked at the sculptor's masterpiece and said, you run it. It's runt. It's runt. My, it must have been the sculptor when he commands this image to speak. And I want to tell you, if Michelangelo could have got into that piece of marble, oh glory, glory to God, had he got into that piece of marble, he would have spoke. He would have spoke if he could have got into it. It would have become animated. It would have become a living image of a vision that was in his mind. If Michelangelo could have only got into his masterpiece. What are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying the sculptor wants to speak through his masterpiece. God makes the masterpiece. Then he steps into his masterpiece. And he commands the masterpiece to speak once he becomes tabernacled inside of his image. He wants the image to speak. Glory to God. Wait a minute, Brother David. What about Jesus? Remember, the Bible says he opened not his mouth, but he must speak. The first coming of the Son of Man, he opened not his mouth. I said the first coming of the Son of Man, he opened not his mouth. But somewhere, in some age, in some day, he must speak. The Son of Man has got to tabernacle himself and speak. To me, the flaw was what made it a masterpiece. Don't you see why theologians can't understand our Bible? Because they'd say it's flawed, but Brother said the flaw is what made it a masterpiece. Maybe to the mind it might think different. You think that and you spoiled it. Oh no, when he made it, because after so many years of careful work and tools, he spoke and he said, oh my, he proved what was in his mind until it become perfect. And he cried out, speak, because he'd seen before him. He had been able to achieve it, to bring to pass the visions in his mind until the inspiration, oh my, he done something out of reason. He done something out of the ordinary. Something had to interrupt this thing. Something had to bring men back upon the basis. Something out of the ordinary. So God wrapped himself around a blood cell. And he come down, created both egg and sperm in the womb of a woman. And he made his own masterpiece. And therefore, the inspiration struck him. Something out of the reason. Something out of ordinary. Struck it and hollered, said, speak. He wouldn't have done it if he had thought. Watch now. That means he's inspired. But he didn't think his inspiration of seeing what he had in his mind sitting there perfectly before him. And then Brother Ram goes from Michelangelo. Think about it. From the great image of Michelangelo to the great image of Almighty God. And Brother Ram said, now let's close the book and let's turn the page on Michelangelo and let's open another book of the great sculptor. Michelangelo was a good sculptor. But this master, amen somebody, he's a great sculptor. Think about it, friends. We got a prophet standing there inspired by this marvel, inspired by this image, and he catches the picture of what God had in his eye. Because before Brother Branham, listen friends, we was in the mind of God. Before the sculptor ever come to completion, you was already in his mind. In so much of Brother Branham saying Christ the mystery, he said that he's going to take us back to the mind of God. We come from God. We're going back to God. Threefold part of Christ the mystery, how that he wants to come down. And the last part is to return this peace back into that Garden of Eden where you was. Oh, come on somebody. We're going to go to an Eden for 1,000 years, millennium reign. And then we're going to go to a future hall, back to where originally we belong at, in the mind of God. Brother, the vision, let me tell you, the vision ain't done with 6 ages. The vision ain't done with 7 ages. The vision ain't done after the millennium. There must be an eternal day where man steps from time. The millennium is in time. But we will move from time back into eternity where we was at all along. God, the great sculptor before the foundation of the world, he had in his mind what he wanted. He wanted to make man in his own image. He wanted to make something the reality of what the vision was in him and the mind of what he was thinking. Think about that. Brother Branham went and he showed how the great sculptor God, to save time, and God created Adam in his own image. Amen. And then he created him in his own likeness. After what he was, here Adam was a reflection of what God was. What God was in eternity, Adam was on the earth. Amen. But I want to tell you this, that perfect reflection of that masterpiece, it become flawed. Because of deception of his wife, oh God. God knew what this master would do of the Eden. He knew that he would become flawed for his wife. Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived. But Adam, oh brother and sister, think of it. Adam partook of that sin in order to cross the chasm to bring Eve back to a perfect image of a living God. But Ram says, I might say to this, when he made man, there was something about him, yet that he didn't look just right. Because he was by himself. I love that. Said he was by himself. He was in the eternal. And the man now in the image of God all existed on the earth by himself. So he must struck a little blow. He must struck a little blow over on his right, on left side. And from there, he took the piece that struck off of it. And he made him a helpmate, a wife. So the piece of the rib that come out of Adam was the helpmate. It was Adam's bride. It was Adam's wife that come out of Adam. You say, Brother David, it's flawed. Oh no, it's a further expression of what he was. It's only a further expression of what Adam was from masculine form now to feminist form. But Satan marred that piece. He marred Eve. And Adam know that piece belonged to him. I said he wouldn't allow Satan to take possession of that Eve. He did not let the devil have possession of that book.
That book was a part of Adam's generations. It was part of that super, come on somebody. And he knew that the devil wasn't going to have the book of those names. So what did he do? He become flawed. Hallelujah. He become smitten and afflicted for you and I. So even though it was marred, Adam still considered that peace a part of him. I said even though she had mistakes, he still considered that peace a part of him. God help me to quit looking at me through me. Help me to look at me through the Word. I have got to believe what the Word says I am. Amen, somebody. The sculptor created this masterpiece. Finally, he comes down and creates Christ. Michelangelo creates Moses out of marble. And God formed this masterpiece out of His Word. And John picks it up in 1:1. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The masterpiece wasn't made from marble, it wasn't made from wood, it was made from Logos. This means yes in Tennessee, this means no. I'm telling you, He was part of the Word. Amen. He was the Word made flesh. And I'm telling you that you come out of Him. He was the, hallelujah, He was the spoken Word, and you come out of Christ. He was the Word made flesh. He was the Word, and Eve come out of Adam, and you come out of Christ. I hear Brother Ram said over and over again, all that was in God was poured into Christ. And Brother Ram said when He was poured into Christ, you got poured in there with Him. Brother Larry, we was poured into the very mind of God, knew that we was a part of Him. So when God began to empty Himself, kenos Himself, out of Himself, notice He poured you in there with Him because you was a thought, a gene. Hallelujah. You was a part of the Master. Eve and Adam were in Christ. In order to get the bride, in order to get the bride out of this image, God has to smite him. Without Christ being smitten, there is no peace. Amen. It's not a masterpiece. Brother said, until it becomes smitten. Brother David, it's bloody. It's a masterpiece. Brother David, it's hardly bearable to look at. It's a masterpiece. They stripped him. It's a masterpiece. They beat him. It's a masterpiece. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. He was still a masterpiece. Yes, it was bloody, but that's what we needed was a bloody lamb. Hallelujah. I believe verse 4 of Isaiah 53 is what makes it the masterpiece, because God smote him and that made him a master. And yet Brother Raymond says when he smites him, he says he cries out. He cries out. When he becomes spoken, notice the two part. He was smitten and he cried out. But notice when Jesus was here, he never fulfilled the second part. He never cried out. He never expressed his voice. But there is going to be a voice. Amen, somebody. Michelangelo says, why don't you talk? You're alive now. Why don't you speak? And the Bible says the Lamb opened not his mouth. And the Bible, oh friends, think about it. Let me tell you, somewhere this Son of Man is going to speak. He's got to be smitten, number one. He's got to speak, number two. The first time was the smiting. The second time is the speaking. Calvary's not a sign of the Lamb speaking, saying, stop, give up, quit, don't, please don't. No, no. He opened not his mouth. The picture of a perfect masterpiece is him speaking again. It's one who speaks. Brother David, are you saying what I think you're saying? Yes, I am. There has got to be a final voice. Come to a final age. There has got to be an embodiment of the Word of God inside of this image. This image that's been created from the very mind of God, from the Logos of God, from that gene seed of God. This image must speak in order to complete the masterpiece. Can I read it to you? Abraham says in the dark ages, the Word was almost entirely lost to the people. But God sent Luther with the Word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time, but they organized. And again, the pure Word was lost from organization, trends, down toward dogma and creeds, and not the simple Word. They could no longer speak for God. Then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice with the Word of his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living. became the living epistles read and known of all men. Not a dead piece of wood, not a dead piece of marble. They become a living epistle read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others. So it has gone all through the years until the last day. There is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be a final voice to the final age. I want to tell you, we are the voice of Almighty God. Here in the last days when God wants to speak, He's not going to use Jesus the Son. He's going to use the bride, the very part of the Logos that come out of Him from His mind in the beginning. Hallelujah! We must be that image of the Word. Brother David, I got faults. You're still what God saw you as. A piece of this master is bride. But God in the end time, He's going to send a message of restoration among us. I said there's going to come a message of restoration. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. The message of restoration will reveal the true identity to the peace of who they always was. Think about it. The peace has to have a revelation of who she is. So it took a prophet, oh glory, to come down among us to reveal to the peace who you always was. Listen friends, my history precedes my time being. You didn't begin in time. You didn't begin in time. You was a part of Him in eternity. But when you was born in this world, Lutherans told you that you started in time. Baptists said you started in time. But when God sent this prophet, He went to the very back parts of the mind of God. He said you never was a time being. You was always an eternal part. You was always a piece of the Master. God revealed the secret of what He had. Who uses that terminology? Earl Roberts never used it. Billy Graham never used it. Whoever used that terminology, the back parts of the mind of God. What ministries ever even use that? You know why they can't use it? Because they never saw the back parts of God's mind. I'm telling you that God sent us a restorer that did not just see the Genesis 1. He didn't, come on somebody. He didn't just see Noah's time. He didn't just see Abraham's time. I'm talking about a man when people would walk across the platform. He said, I see you sitting in your doctor's office with a doctor looking over the top of you. He tells you, and you live at this address, you got this wrong with you, and you got this many kids, and your husband, come on somebody. He was able to take and reveal to the people what was in the back parts of their mind that nobody else knowed. But the greater part of this ministry, that was only to get your attention, to let you know He was going to actually discern the very thoughts of Almighty God and what He had in the back parts of the mind of God. If God can tell him what was in the back parts of that individual's mind, how about the very mind, the very mind of God, the thinking of God? Could He not unveil it to him? In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. It will identify the peace of the Logos that come out of God in the beginning. And He will actually give the peace their true identity of what they always was. Think about it. The Word come out of the Word. That's all it can be is Word. That's all you can be is Word. But the problem is we get Word mixed up with flesh. And we start looking more to the flesh than what we do the Word. Brother David, explain it. I can't explain it to you this morning. I cannot really begin to tell you. I can't explain it, but God knows about every bit of it. All I can tell you is I've got to look to what the Word says. Because as I look to my everyday life, I see my shortcomings and our failures. I look to those things. I said, there ain't no way that it can be. But brother, when I come to the house of God and the Word of God starts going forth, something in my heart begins to stir up and an amen comes out of my lips. Why? I'm identifying with the Word that's coming forth. Understanding that there is something about me. I may not be able to explain it. I may not know all about it, but I know I'm identified with what's being said. identify with that word. Identify with this message. Identify with that Logos. I am a part of it. He was the Word, and you are the Word. And God had to come down to let you know. And He does it in the simplest form that even the children can understand it. As He tells the story of the eagle. Remember, the farmer took one of the eggs from the eagle and put it underneath that hen to let you know that that eagle heard the mother eagle's call. But they've explained all of it. Oh, I can't explain it. All I know, explain how he knew that was his mama. You can't explain it. All you have to realize is there was something about her that was in him. There was something about that mama eagle that had a reflection of his identity, what he was, and he could respond because he recognized the voice. I want to tell you this morning, we have recognized the voice of God. It's more than a Kentuckian. It's more than a man that lived in Arizona. It's more than that. It's the voice of God. Hallelujah! Who is this Melchizedek? After you recognize, talking about the peace now, after you recognize the very word of God was eagle food, you left that other thing. You left Baptist, you left Methodist. When you truly saw this message, you couldn't choke down the worms no more. You couldn't choke down the grubs no more. You couldn't choke down the things in the barnyard no more. Brother, why in the world would you want to eat from a dead carcass when you can eat from the living word of God right out of the mouth of God? Hallelujah. You left the other thing. You have been formed. You have been formed into the living image. Not a dead piece of marble. Not a dead church. Not twice plucked up by the roots. You've been formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. Brother, how in the world can you hear from it? And that not theophany did not have a voice. I tell you, this message is your theophany speaking to you. This message is a living word of God made manifest in you and I. You heard from your theophany. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You've been formed into the living image. The living image. The living image. Brother, I read that quote this week. I've read that since I started preaching at 16 years old. But when I read it in conjunction with this message, I shouted, I hollered, I danced a little bit, because I never read it like I read it then. You've been formed into the living image of the living God. Well, he's working on the building. He's working on the building. He's working on the building. It's my Lord. It's my Lord. Faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. Future home. Yes, future home. He starts preaching messages like rapture. Things that are to be. Seed is not Eliphaz, shuck. You start saying, I'm starting to see something. I'm starting to feel something. Something's moving in me. Something's coming alive. Something wants to speak. Something wants to speak. I'm inspired and I want to speak. You're formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. How can you hear from it unless it would have a voice? In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God. Not started. Come on, somebody. Not the beginning of this masterpiece. It shall be finished. So by this message of this hour, he's going to take that word and complete a bride back into his own image of the revealed word for this day. Not a cold, dead piece of marble. Not a cold church. Well, should we say amen or should we not say amen? Brother Ram said, if the word of God's true and it echoes in your heart, he said a believer will say amen and punctuate the word of God, amen, every time. We're not believers from our flesh. We're not a believer from our feelings. We're believers from the soul this morning. And something in that word echoes from your heart, amen, and you can't keep from saying amen to it. The living image of the living God. Now watch, because after you recognize who you are, you're hearing from something. Therefore, there's a voice. Remember the first time he was smitten, he opened not his mouth. But this time he begins to speak. And what he begins to speak is what he had on his mind when he became a flawed image. Hallelujah, somebody. Brother, think about it. We're living in the message of restoration. We're living in the message of restoration. The peace identifies who she always was. But then he takes you and he takes that peace that come off of him. And because it's restoration, he can take that peace and put it back. Glory to God. Notice the bride, if the bride is in the beginning was the word, the bridegroom rather, if the bride is taken from the bridegroom, it must be the word also. Glory. The bride must be, why? Why must the bridegroom be the word manifested, made plain? It's because the bride and the bridegroom. It's not the picture of an image without the peace. The picture today is that the peace has been put back into the master. That's why you can speak. It's because you've been put back into the master. That's why you got a voice. It's because you've been put back to the master. And now, glory, the master gets down inside of the sculpted piece of work. He gets inside of you and I. And now the shout of the king is speaking from within his tabernacle. Get he tabernacled in man. Brother said Michelangelo could never put that piece back in and made it right.
That's right.
But brother, I'm not talking about Michelangelo. I'm talking about the great sculptor. Where he can take and put us back. And it looks so real. You can't see a crack nowhere. He's not trying to use some type of cement polymer. Come on, somebody. But he uses a supernatural thing called the Holy Ghost. And he puts you back into that part of his body. And he welds you so much in there. Let me tell you, you can't even see where you start and he stops. You can't tell the difference between the bride and Christ because they are both the same thing. They're not twain, they're one. Because the bride and the bridegroom are one. She is just a smitten piece off of him. Glory to God. There is the masterpiece that was smitten. Michelangelo could not reproduce that again. He could not put it back, but God is going to do it. I said, God is going to do it. He's going to bring this little bride that's smitten right back in the side of the original word. And there he is. There is the masterpiece family back again. What is he saying? We're back to the same image that Adam and Eve was in the beginning. Back to that perfect word image. Again, he says in paragraph 161, the word living and in action. The word living and in action. The Bible bride, not some amen bride, the Bible bride. Again, he says, paragraph 174, the great masterpiece of a family, the second Adam and second Eve, now ready for the garden. The millennium! The millennium! Man has never been able to live 1,000 years in the presence of God before the millennium actually took place in the garden. Notice what happened is that the peace of this sculptor become marred. But brother, when God puts the peace back into the master, we're at, Brother David, underneath the seventh seal. Remember, there is still time under the seventh seal, right on out for the millennium. Under that seventh seal, it restores us back to that millennium reign. God, look what we had to look forward to, friends. Ready for the garden, the millennium. Amen. Amen. What he had in his mind had to come forth just as he saw it. I want to tell you, he saw you. But not only did he see you. Amen. And I'm closing. I know that don't mean some people, but I'm closing. Like when you're on an airplane and you're landing, the pilot comes on there and says, listen everyone, we're descending. 20 minutes later, you're not even landed yet. 30 minutes later, you're on the tarmac. 40 minutes later, you're finally walking off. Well, we're descending. But not only did he see you, he heard you. I said he heard you. Because when you recognize this message to be eagle food, you heard from it. So what you hear goes into your mind. But notice, a thought expressed is a word. Come on, somebody. That's why Abraham never did bring nothing new. Amen. What he brought was already written in the very mind of God. You believe that? Brother Brown was only preaching a recall to the right. Amen, somebody. What was it? It was locked up in mystery form. Brother Brown didn't have a new message. Amen. He was preaching what was in God's mind. And what I'm saying is God heard your voice. Amen. Wait a minute, Brother David. When did I have voice? I'm glad you ask. I'll tell you that God revealed your voice to Job in Job 38. Job said, I was there when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. I'm telling you, I had a voice. Hallelujah. But I've said, service seed, we're taught in the blessed word that we had fellowship with him before the foundation of the world. When the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. Way back before the foundation of the world. How do we know it wasn't at that time that the lamb was slain, smitten, if you will. And when God in his great thinking, he seen us shouting and rejoicing in our salvation through Jesus. I want to tell you, not only did he see you in his mind, he heard your voice. Let me tell you, that's why you can repeat the word back to him, because you was always a part of that word. You're not here just by chance. You're not just here accident. Come on, somebody. We didn't have hazardly come to this thing. We was elected to this message. We was predestinated to this message. And I'm telling you, God heard your voice. We're predestinated to believe what we're believing. We're elected to preach what we're preaching. We are chosen of God to see what we're seeing. Believe what we're believing this morning. He heard you. He heard you. He heard me preaching this message. He heard you screaming amen, church. You had a voice, and now you are bringing that voice from the bride. Why cry? Why cry about the dust? Why cry about the chips? Why cry about the rocks? Why cry when you can speak? He heard you. He heard you. What are you rejoicing about this morning? Because you was a part of him in the mind of God. And he said that I saw you shouting about that lamb. Could it not be this morning even? That vision by piece, by piece, by piece is coming to fulfillment of what he saw in Job 38. Because now you and I, remember, the rest says we're not laying around somewhere. The bride is standing on her feet. Nobody knows what we know about a body. You know why? I'm quitting. We're on the ground. We're taxing. Nobody knows about a body like we know about a body. This is why I say this. Denominations tell you you're getting a body of the future. And Brother Ram come and said, you're getting a body from the past. You're talking about on two different sides of the spectrum. They say you're going to get something that you never had. And Brother Ram said, you're going to get back what you always had. You just bypassed it. Hallelujah.
But if you bypass it, there's got to come a time of the merging of the bride and the theophany. This is the hour of the merging. This is the hour of the rise.
Stand to our feet this morning. Thank you for flying with Michelangelo Airlines. Hope you enjoyed your trip and plan to have another one with us sometime. Don't you see why Isaiah could say it pleased the Lord to bruise him? Because he knew by smitten, he knew what he was going to get out of it. Brother, you realize what this church is this morning. What you and I are, we're the reflection of that masterpiece. Not a creed, not a dogma. A reflection of what God had in his mind. Brother David, I just don't see it. Well, you're looking at dust then. Brother, there's a mess all over the floor. Keep your eyes off of that. If you ain't careful, that old critic will come up in you. You'll look at that and say, you're just, this is a mess. You elected? Huh. You predestinated? You're crazy. All I can say is don't look at me. Look at what my daddy said about me. Look at what my daddy seen. My daddy seen something greater than time. He saw something that was eternal. Brother, think about what God has showed us. Think about it. Where else can you go in the world? Where else can you go in Johnson City and hear somebody talking about a body from the past, a theophany? How many men you ever heard talking about theophanies and you're getting a body back? Eternal, a body that's eternal in the heavens that you just bypassed. But when you begin to catch the mind, when whoever has the mind of God will reveal it to the people. That's the one I want to follow. Oh, don't you see it? A piece of the master. But you're no longer separated between you and God. God come down and identified the piece as a part of him. And God picked it up. And he put it back in his side. Where you belonged all the time, he says. That's where we belonged at, friends. I want to sing this song. I want to sit at your feet. Let's sing that song with you. You love him this morning. How many believes you're a part of this? Don't let them old hall of critics talk you out of it. Talk me out of it, huh? Ain't nobody else telling me that I'm going to spite me. Ain't nobody else telling me I'm elected in spite of my honoriness. This message says even in spite of you, you're going to make it anyway. Hope you can swallow that this morning. I said in spite of your shortcomings, your mistakes, your faults and your failures, even in spite of your bad attitude, some people are so sorry a fly won't even land on. But let me tell you, in spite of everything you do, if God elected you, you're going back in him. Glory. God ain't herding cattle. God ain't herding some type of animal. Won't listen. No cantankerous bull. It's his bride. And he says, you want to go? Oh yes, daddy. Well, come back here. And the message give you an invitation to come back to his side. Oh, praise God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The more I seek you.
Can we just worship him now? Let him know how much you love him.
The more I find you.
Praise be to God. Yes, Lord.
Father, the more I find you.
Having found him this morning. God.
The more I love you.
Just imagine, masterpiece. Just imagine this morning.
I want to sit at your feet. Drink from this cup.
Oh, yes,
in your
hand. This is what I want to
lay
do.
Back against you. Feel your heart.
Can you feel it? You're back in the side. Can you feel it?
Your love is so deep.
Oh.
It's more than I can understand. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you. Cup in your hand.
feel your heartbeat. Your love is so deep, it's more than it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more. It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you. The more I love you,
I have a Father who knows. In his hand, he knows my name, he knows my every thought, he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a Maker, he formed my heart. Oh, before even time began, my was in his hand. He knows my name, he knows my every thought, he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. He knows my name.
since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compares to what's waiting up there. How one day I will finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I can't help believing it's a place like you and I have never known. That's why I keep my eyes up on the sky, 'cause my heart is ready to go. I wanna know. Life that I'm living seems like pieces of and I'll never find. I try to lighten my load, but all I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river. Where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed. My eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold.
Peace of Almighty God, the restored masterpiece. She's standing on her feet this morning. The revealed word of the last days. It's not a book, it's not a tape, it's a people. It's a living image of the living God. When you recognize this message to be eager for, you heard from your theophany. And the great sculptor from heaven steps over into his masterpiece. And he comes walking to the pulpit and says, I want to preach this morning on a piece of the master. And he begins to reveal to you what God had in his mind. He begins to reveal to you what he had in his mind. Then after he tells you what he had in his mind,
He stands on the pews looking back and goes, amen, 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 amen. It's God speaking it. It's God revealing it. And it's God saying amen to it. The Shalom King this morning. Go home, David. Go home. Go home. I don't want to go home. I want to go home, all right, but it ain't over there on Rock House Road. I think before we go this morning, I know it's late. We got to go. Can we tell the devil his kingdom's coming down? Would it be all right on this Sunday morning in Happy Valley Church? He wants to tell me I'm a flow of peace. He wants to tell me I'm not elected. I'm not predestined. I want to tell him and remind him what's going to happen to his kingdom. With Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard an angel say, it's going to fall down someday. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I said, Satan, your walls are falling down. Oh, oh, Satan, your walls are falling down. I heard Joshua say, you're going to fall down, son. I said, Jesus.